This is Texans Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Amegy Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. And by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into another edition of Texans Huddle. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. And we've got a lot to get to in the next 30 minutes. In fact, the ninja will stop by. We'll visit with Antonio Smith. But, Mark, first things first, let's get right to this one. A tough loss for the Houston Texans.
Patty, this is about as tough as it gets, you know. And I've lived through them all. I've been here since the inception of the franchise. And I remember all the tough ones, VY in overtime and Rosencopter and all those games. And this is right up there with the most painful. But there's a big difference, and I was talking to Owen Daniels about this, in that it's relatively early. This is the best team they've ever had. And there's plenty of time remaining for their dreams to still come true. Clearly, they have to play better. They have to avoid those big mistakes. We talked about it last week. They didn't do it in this game. And I think the guys, with that player-only meeting on Monday, moved forward very quickly because they have a tough one this coming weekend.
All right, we'll talk a little bit more about the player meeting a little bit later on in the show. But first things first, let's get right to the highlights in this week's Texans Rewind.
After a frustrating loss last week, the Texans are hoping home cooking can get them well. Turbin starts left and he's blasted by Watt for a loss. Wants to throw it again, looking, and he fires downfield. Hits Graham across the five, rock and roll, touchdown Houston. Wilson gets the snap, here's pressure, and Wilson's going to go down. Watt and the Ninja get there and make a Wilson sandwich out of him.
Three of the four Texans game this season have come down to the last play of the game. Unfortunately, on Sunday, the Seahawks were on the receiving end of the walk-off victory when Steven Hauschka hit the 45-yard field goal in overtime.
45-yard attempt for Hauschka. The snap is down. He'll kick it from the left hash. Kick is up. And it's good. The Texans lose in overtime.
It hurts. It hurts bad. You know, we were playing very well. We had a lot of big plays in the game against a very good defense. You know, we moved the ball. Got to midfield a bunch in the second half and had to punt. But, you know, used some clock and put their offense backed up. And, you know, our defense was playing well. So, yeah, it hurts real bad, you know, knowing all how important the game was. And it's a very good opponent, and we had them on the ropes.
It was the cliche tale of two halves as the Texans put up 20 points in the first half before losing Brian Cushing to a concussion, and seemingly everything changed.
First and goal at the three, Lynch in the backfield with the second-year quarterback who's putting on a show. Wilson tosses the ball to Lynch, running left, wide open, real estate, touchdown Seattle.
He is one of our greatest playmakers within the defense, and having him not there, you know, kind of sucks, but I mean, even though, we've got to be able to, you know, suck it up and play ball.
Late in the fourth quarter, Matt Schaub was picked off by Richard Sherman, resulting in his third pick six in as many games.
Schaub fakes the gift, throws it backside right, and it's picked off by Sherman across the 50. No way! 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Seattle! It happens again!
I'll be honest with you, I take responsibility. I put him in a bad situation as a coach. Obviously, we got to protect the ball, but, you know, I put him in a bad situation, you know. I should run the ball there and punt and play defense, you know, but trying to be aggressive and trying to make a play, and we didn't end up killing us, you know, hurting us. So, I take my responsibility. I could have obviously called a hell of a lot better play.
The loss was the Texans' second straight and puts them at 2-2 heading into Sunday night's game in San Francisco.
You never want to take an L, but, this is one of those things. I feel like we played hard. We just didn't play very smart. And, you know, I could live with that rather than, yeah. The converse of that, so we'll be all right.
This sucks. Nobody likes to lose, especially like this in your own building. This isn't fun, man. I was sick of it after one loss.
All right, we have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. We'll have plenty more with Mark breaking it down and looking forward to San Francisco when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Mark, you alluded to and mentioned the team meeting that Arian Foster called. Antonio Smith also stepped up, took a big part in it. We'll hear from him later on in the show, but you had him on your radio show. Just tell us kind of what he said and what you know about what came out of that team meeting.
Well, first of all, Patty, the interesting thing is that Arian Foster calls the meeting, and not the first person I would think about to do this, yet if you think more deeply, maybe he is the guy because he hears all the noise around town, and I think what they wanted to do is filter out the noise. Antonio Smith told us that on Tuesday during his radio show, that they needed to shut out the outside, put it behind them. You know, Antonio was part of an Arizona Cardinals team that was horrible down the stretch in the regular season one season, but they put it together in the playoffs and made the Super Bowl, and that's what the Texans, of course, would like to do this year. The players talked about it.
I told them, you know, part of my story in Arizona, and then last year we made that Super Bowl run. You know, we started off hot and feeling ourselves and then ended like trash. And then went into the playoffs. It humbled us and went into the playoffs. And everybody had to check their egos at the door. You know, everybody had to put the team first before yourself, you know. And I just told them that story and told them that we got to make a decision. And the decision is we want to be a Super Bowl team or we want to be a flashy team that make plays here and there and that everybody talks about and then go to the second round of the playoffs and end up losing. You know, I said, oh, do you want to be the team? And I emphasized the word team, you know, that is in the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, you know, because you're not going to win the Super Bowl if you're not a team. Every team that has a lot of talent and just makes a lot of flashy plays a lot of times, you know, whenever they meet a team, kind of like we did last year, you kind of lose.
So, Mark, hopefully with what Antonio said, and they all seem like they're on the same page, but just kind of your thoughts on how Matt actually can rebound from this. Obviously, we've heard a lot of talk about he deleted his Twitter account. He's just taking a beating from the fans. How can he kind of come back and move forward?
Yeah, it's all mental, Patty, because clearly he has the skills. You see what he did in the first half of that game. He was dealing against the Seahawks, who at the time were the number one defense in the league. Now the Texans are. Matt Schaub has all sorts of capability, but he made the gigantic mistake again at the end of the game. So it's a mental thing. He's got to put that away and move on. He has his full support of the teammates. As far as the Twitter account goes, he hadn't been on Twitter since, I think, December or something. I logged on a couple of weeks ago to see what he was up to as I was promoting something we were doing with him, and he hasn't even used it. I think he just said, forget it, I'm done with social media. And I don't blame him, Patty. He's got to tune out the noise. You know how it is around town with Matt Schaub right now. It's tough for a lot of starting quarterbacks in this league. Joe Flacco threw 5 picks last week. Matt Ryan is 1-3. Eli Manning is 0-4. Schaub has good company in this. And you know what? Other players who have thrown pick sixes in 3 consecutive games, John Elway and Peyton Manning. You have to think about stuff like this and keep things in perspective. There's a lot of season left. You got to play well. Hopefully he can play better.
Well, he showed he can play better and he can play well. Let's talk a little bit about that first half. And it was as well as the Texans have played all season long and probably going back further to last season.
Yeah, and the things we talked about last week came into play. They made practice last week more competitive, more 11-on-11 stuff as opposed to when you might normally do 7-on-7. Just things like that. Give him some different looks. And he responded very well through 2 touchdown passes, Garrett Graham and Arian Foster, and numerous other good plays, including this one to Owen Daniels, which is our HCC Go Get It moment as OD made a diving catch. So Schaub had a little help from his friends, threw the ball very well. But in the second half, Patty, the defense of Seattle started to make some noise. The Texans were having great difficulty moving the football, and clearly they made the big play of the game.
Well, the Texans defense played very well as well, but with Brian Cushing going out late in the game, the second half really kind of changed the whole dynamic. Just talk a little bit about that and then where you expect him to be moving forward.
Yeah, the Texans have the number one defense in the league right now, yardage-wise. They did give up that 98-yard drive. Russell Wilson started to make plays with his legs. That was a huge difference. Cushing, as you said, went out, and they just weren't quite the same without him in there. And then in overtime, look, I can't fault the defense. I mean, the Texans had the ball twice in overtime and couldn't move it. So no excuses here. But the defense had a couple of bad penalties, one of them a horse collar, one of them a Kareem Jackson unsportsmanlike conduct. So you saw that they did contribute to this slightly, but it's really an offensive issue, I think, because the defense overall has been fantastic since that first half against San Diego.
All right, Mark, stick around. We have to take another time out here on Texans Huddle, but when we come back, we will visit with the ninja Antonio Smith, and then Mark will come back a little bit later on to look forward to San Francisco. Stay with us. Be sure to go to HoustonTexans.com and vote for the Whataburger Player of the Month. September's nominees include Earl Mitchell, nominated by the Ninja Antonio Smith. Garrett Graham was selected by fellow tight end Owen Daniels. And right tackle Derek Newton was nominated by left tackle Dwayne Brown. The winner will make an appearance with the player who nominated them at a Houston-area Whataburger near you. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, the Ninja Antonio Smith. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I like your little pose.
Yeah.
All right, before we go any further, let's get right to it. We played the audio from the radio show, the Texans Grill, earlier in the week, and you really talked about the team meeting and how important it was and what came out of it. And I just kind of wanted you to elaborate a little bit more on that and just sort of your thoughts of how you approached it from a leadership standpoint.
I just try to always approach it from, like the same playing field as your players. You don't never want to be above them or try to act like you're talking down to anybody, So I can feel the exact same thing they feel. I'm going through the exact same thing they're going through. So I was able to just give them my heart, because, I've been through the same situation before.
How receptive were the other players to that? And, I mean, I know you – guys were, you're down about a lot of things. There's a lot of negativity going on, but you chose to kind of be a glasses half full guy and show the positives as to how well you played. How was that received?
I think everybody thought the same way. And that's the only reason why I said it, because I didn't want too much negativity to set in. And, it'll bring like a dark cloud and everybody's spirits start to get down. I think that everybody knew we played a great, that's why they was mad, because they knew we played a great game. They knew that the feeling was there. They knew that we had everything clicking, and just for a little couple of lapses there, lost us the game. But I think for the most part, everybody felt the same way I did, and that's why they was able to be receptive to it. And at the end of the meeting that we called, everybody, basically we made like a pledge. Everybody pledged their own oath. I said at the end of it, your word is your bond, so give me your word. Speak it. Speak what you're gonna do. Speak. I'm gonna speak to you what I'm gonna do for you. So, everybody spoke and everybody bought in, and we're ready to go.
Well, you guys are a team, and how important for you as teammates of Matt Schaub is it to be there for him as he's kind of taking a little bit of heat, a little bit of a beating from the media, from the fans. For you guys to not only show him that you support him, but to show everybody else that you're there for him, that you are a team.
That's what a brother does. If you're not doing that, you're not a real true teammate. If you're sitting around pointing your finger, then you're not a teammate, because at some point in time in your career, that's been you. You haven't played at the top of your game. You made mistakes in the game before. So you can't never point the finger at anybody, because it's always going to be 10 pointed back at you.
You're a guy that the fans see. You come out in your little ninja costume, and you're a guy that likes to have fun. But clearly, you're also a guy that does take this leadership role seriously, does have a serious and more in-depth side. How important is that to you, and how important has that become to this team to have that kind of guy in that locker room?
It's very important. I think that your team needs it. Whatever gifts you have, if you're in a team sport like football, especially on a team like this, and I've said it before, this is more like a family. You got to give them whatever you got, and I guess that's one of the gifts God gave me. So I give anything I got to my brothers, and I consider them as that, So it's nothing new to me, I love doing it for them. I love being I love them looking towards me as a leader, even though I ain't got my golden C this year, cool.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming game at hand, of course, the San Francisco 49ers. As you look at that offense, Colin Kaepernick, what you're facing with them, kind of break it down a little bit for us.
It's basically the same type of threat. A different running game. It's more of a power running game. And with that, you're going to have to buckle your chin strap, because they're coming out at you. But you still can't forget that when he does drop back and pass, he's just as elusive and fast as Russell Wilson.
Is that maybe a positive? And that's what Gary Kubiak was talking about in his press conference today, that they are very similar, what you're facing back-to-back, that you just came from that with a Russell Wilson and with the Seattle Seahawks going into San Francisco?
I think that's great. I think that you don't have a week for it to get out the importance of keeping him contained and inside, to get out of your mind, that you basically having the same game plan when it comes to stopping the quarterback as you had the week before, so you can get better at it.
I know they're all tough. Every Sunday's a tough one, but this is a very difficult part of the schedule. Coming off that last loss, you got a couple of tough games in front of you. How important is it to turn it around, bounce back, moving forward to these next three or four games?
It's very important, I think, because just on a field perspective. Now, when it comes to numbers, you know, this game is not going to make or break your season, you know, but for a field perspective, to get back, you know, where we was last week, that level of playing when we started the game fast, you know, and everything felt good. We got to get that feeling back. You always want to hurry up and get the funk of a loss off of you. You know, you want to, it's like freshening up and just bringing in a new era. You know, it almost would be like starting a new season.
Well, real quick, before I let you go, one of the highlights in that last game, I think for most of us, was watching you and JJ with the sack. We got the salute. We got the ninja sword at the same time. At all planned, just one of those.
It's just one of those things. Me and JJ both know, you know, you got to get up quick and get your celebration on if you want that sack, you know, especially when it's two of you, on the sack. And that's all it is, and that's what we do because, you know, if it was planned, they'd kind of throw a flag on us. We don't want that. We don't want that at all.
No, it wasn't planned at all.
No planning.
No planning. All right, good luck this weekend. Thanks so much. We have to take another time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, The Voice, Mark Vandermeer, will be back with Mailbag. Stay with us.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Amegy Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. And by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Time now for Mailbag.
Mailbag, Patty, and it's brought to you by the Texas Lottery, Houston Texans scratch-off game. Play it often.
All right, our first question comes from Garrett, and Garrett would like to know if the running game, since it has been doing well, Arian Foster had a 100-plus yard game last week, can and will we expect to see more of the running game with Matt Schaub struggling?
Well, I think the Texans are always going to throw the football. They'll always run the football. They'll always throw the football. They like balance. I think even in a conservative environment where the Texans are either leading or in a close game, Schaub's still putting it up 25, 30 times minimum against the 49ers on Sunday night. But they want to run the ball, Patty, clearly. If they're not running the football, they feel like they're totally unsuccessful as an offense. That's a bread and butter element of the way they attack defenses. But the answer is, I don't think you're going to see the run out-duel the pass unless they have a big lead and they're trying to kill clock.
All right, as we stay with the running theme, Emily has a question, and her question pertains to Ben Tate. Ben Tate got benched after fumbling the ball. He got benched last season after fumbling. Do you expect to see more of him? Will he be back, or is it going to be more Arian Foster?
Well, Ben Tate will be back for sure. And Gary Kubiak said in a Monday press conference, you know, I didn't leave Ben Tate out of the game because he fumbled. It just kind of worked out that way. And they had something like 15 to 20 snaps after Ben Tate fumbled. They weren't on the field that much. You know, it wasn't like they had 10, 12, 14 play drives. They would have certainly put Ben Tate back in. But Gary Kubiak is like that. And I get a lot of questions. Well, since Gary Kubiak benches Ben Tate after a fumble, why does he bench Matt Schaub? Quarterback is a little bit different than running back, okay? You're not, it's a political situation almost at that point, and you have to keep the team together and give your team the best chance to win. You know, Arian Foster in there instead of Tate is not like a tremendous drop-off. In fact, he's your number one guy. Matt Schaub staying in.
All right, let's talk San Francisco. We talked to Antonio a little bit earlier in the show. You heard him basically saying that he likes the idea of facing two teams that are very similar in offense, Russell Wilson to Colin Kaepernick, and that could work in the Texans' favor.
Yeah, I think it could too. And, you know, the defense played so well against Wilson for the most part, and they sacked him five times. Kaepernick can run around too. He's a bit bigger, and I think that might help them a little bit. Wilson, to me anyway, is a little more slippery than Kaepernick. Kaepernick can still hurt you in a variety of ways. I just like the Texans' defense all fired up and mad, and I love the way Whitney Mercilus is playing. He's got 3.5 sacks. Watt has 3.5 sacks. Can you imagine if somebody else takes the sack lead on this team? JJ's going to be very upset. He's upset already. That could be a good thing for the Texans' defense.
All right, what about the Texans' offense? Obviously, we've been talking about running backs. We've been talking about Matt Schaub, but how do they match up against this 49er defense?
Well, they, on the road, will have a tougher time than they would at home. At home, it's quieter and that kind of thing. Your offense can operate more freely. On the road, they have to deal with the noise and all of that. But Patty, honestly, after seeing what they did against the number one defense, there's not a defense in this league that should really frighten the Texans. Respect everybody, fear no one, and take care of your own business. Don't make the big mistake. I know we said it last week. We're going to say it again this week. We're going to say it until they stop making the big mistake. And I think they're capable of moving the ball against just about anybody in this league.
All right. Great stuff, Mark. Mark and I will be in San Francisco. Be sure to catch us on Countdown, Texans Countdown Live at 5:30 before the 49ers game. And then tune in to Texans Wrap after the game. And, of course, you can always catch us here on Texans Huddle each and every Thursday at 6. Have a great week, everyone.
Hauschka with the opening kickoff. We are ready to rock at Reliant Stadium. Wilson gets the snap. Here's pressure, and Wilson's going to go down. Watt and the Ninja get there and make a Wilson sandwich out of him. Matt dumps it underneath to Arian Foster, running to his left, has the 15, turns it upfield, 20, 25, 30, 35. Gets the snap, wants to throw it again, looking, and he fires downfield. Hits Graham across the 5, rock and roll, touchdown Houston. That'll get the fans into it. Plants in the pocket, has time scrambling forward, and he's going to be sacked as it's Whitney Merciless with the honors. Throws it to the right side, hits Arian, takes it across the goal line. Touchdown, Houston. 5-yard TD pass from Schaub to Arian. Wilson hands off to Lynch, and he's met the hole. Fumble. Texans fighting for it inside the 20. They've got it. Wilson gets the snap. He's in trouble. Throws, and it's intercepted. Houston has it at the 42-yard line. Jonathan Joseph, the Pro Bowler, with the pick. What a play! Takes the give, throws it backside right, and it's picked off by Sherman across the 50. No way! 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Seattle!